Today's daf in the Masechet Ketuvot is daf Tzadik Beit, but that doesn't mean we have to be very slow and schleppy. We can do it at full speed anyway. And oftentimes, if it's a fight between a tortoise and a hare, the tortoise comes in first anyway. And therefore, when we start today on daf Tzadik Aleph Amud Beis, where we got up to, we can still finish quickly. So we had gotten up to Ahu Gavda Zavna L'Ktuva De'ime, right after the case of the one who collected the 50 shekel from the Dmei Arkatina, which is about one-fifth of the way up. Ahu Gavra, right in the middle of the line there. Ahu Gavda Zavna L'Ktuva De'ime. So there's a son whose mother got married to somebody else, and she now has a ktuva, and she may collect this ktuva, or she may not. In other words, assuming that her husband dies or is megarisher, so then fine, she'll collect the ktuva. If she collects the ktuva, then her only heir is this son. So he's going to be taking this ktuva. But, of course, it's possible that she'll die before her husband, in which case the husband will inherit the ketuvah, and the son won't get anything, or it's even possible that the son himself will die before. So basically, a buyer of such a ketuvah, if he's buying it from the son, is going to pay very little, for the chances of collection are very limited. So basically, he buys this ketuvah from her son for, let's say, 10 cents to the dollar. Now, when the son sells it to this guy, he tells him, look, I am not promising you anything. If in the end my mother comes and makes a fuss over this and claims that I had no right to sell, that it was a davar shelo bal yelam, or maybe she tainas that there were debts that were meant to be collected against this ketuvah that came before myself, whatever, I am not going to reimburse you. You understand me? So, Iyadya Eim, Uma'ara lo mefatina lecha. If she comes and messes up the sale, then I'm telling you right now, I am not reimbursing you. You're basically buying a chance of collecting ketuvah, and that's why you're paying so little. Anyway, in the end, what happens is that the mother ends up dying and never had complained about the sale. But now the son, when the guy comes to collect the ketuvah that he bought from the son claims, well, there were debts against the ketuvah, I don't have to give it to you, or he finds some other legal grounds to be ma'ar. It's about locus rishonim, what exactly the iur is. But the point is that the guy figures that ata iu v'koma ara, and he doesn't have to pay him back, because after all, he made a deal with him. He told him, if my mother complains, it's tough for you, you lost your money. So since his mother died, and he is now in the place of his mother, so what is he? I don't owe you anything, I told you, you know, you're paying only 10 cents to the dollar, I'm not guaranteeing anything. So Sava Rami Bar Chama LeMeimar, Rami Bar Chama thought that the din should be that in fact he takes the place of the mother, and Iu b'makom imekoi, and he doesn't have to pay the guy back. Omar LeRava, that's ridiculous.
It's showing you the basis for this. If the mother died before the husband, then there's no ketuvah at all.
It wasn't before the husband. Yeah, it's just that he wouldn't have inherited her if she hadn't died. He can't sell her ketuvah and collect for this guy.
Without her.
Yeah, in this case, the mother died, so now he's the one that was toveya the ketuvah. The mother was living basically on the estate. She never collected the ketuvah. When she died, Now he comes, he sues the estate, collects her ketubah from her second husband, and now the guy wants to take it from him. And he says, well, there were all kinds of debts against the ketubah. According to some, maybe he himself had taken out money and had used the ketubah as collateral, whatever the case is. And he figures he can get away with murder because he always said, look, I'm not guaranteeing anything. So even though it was his own fault that the ketubah was worth nothing to this guy, that was the deal. The guy took the chance. Now he lost. So that's what, in fact, that's what Rami Bar Choma thought. Said Rava to him, that's not true. When a guy says that I don't guarantee anything, all it means is I don't guarantee anything against other people. It doesn't mean if I screw you over, I don't have to pay you back. Obviously, he's guaranteeing the guy against tricks that he's using not to pay. That's ridiculous. So therefore, says Rava, it may well be the ben was not mekabel aleihan himself the achrayut of his mother's making trouble. But achrayut didei, the fact that he made trouble and it was impossible to collect this ketuvah, I mean, obviously he can't turn around and say, well, you agreed. Milo kabil, wasn't he mekabel on himself? I mean, that's the basis of any deal, that the person who sold it to you is not going to be the person that prevents you from getting it. That's not called achrayut. That's called screwing someone over. And therefore, in this case, the ben certainly would have to pay for the loss of the ketuvah to the other guy. Now, another case, which is basically the same case in reverse. Rami Bar Choma made the same mistake, and Rava, again, argued with him. And here the case was, Reuven sells a field to Shimon, and he sells him the field without any guarantees. Now, Shimon, years later, sells it back to Reuven. Now Reuven is rich, he's got money. He sells it back to Reuven. And Shimon, in fact, provides him with property insurance, sells it to him with achrayut, because Reuven says, look, I mean, how do I know you haven't borrowed a lot of money against this property? I'm not going to buy it unless you guarantee to reimburse me. Fine. He guarantees and he will reimburse it. What happens? It turns out that sneaky old Reuven had an old debt against this field from before he had sold it to Shimon the first time. And now comes along his own Baal Chov and says, well, 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 this field looks familiar. It's exactly the same field that you owned at the time that you borrowed all that money from me. Yes, yeah, says Reuven, but you know, I mean, this field I actually bought from Shimon. Well, I don't care, says the guy. I have a contract on it from before you ever sold it to Shimon. And that lien against this field is still valid. And so he walks off with the field. Reuven comes back to Shimon and says, you know, Goodnick, you sold me a field that had liens against it, and now you owe me the money for that field. Says Shimon, are you crazy? The liens against it were liens against you from before you even sold it to me the first time. That may well be true, says Reuven. But when I sold it to you the first time, I sold it without any guarantees. Ha ha. You sold it back to me with guarantees. Therefore, you have guaranteed me against all losses, including losses that might have been liens against me from before I sold it to you the first time. So now you have to pay me back because I forgot about this guy I owed all that money to. Isn't that sad? Says Rami Bar Choma, again, that's exactly the same case in the inverse. So now, Reuven himself is the one who makes the problems, which takes the field away from Shimon. But since Shimon did guarantee Reuven, Shimon has to pay Reuven back. And therefore, dinahu, to azur Shimon mefatzilei l'Reuven. Now Shimon is going to have to reimburse Reuven himself for the very money that Reuven had borrowed from this other party. So it's exactly the case we had before in the inverse, where the chiyuv of achrayut is supposed to protect you even against problems that you yourself are causing. The exact mirror image of the case before, where the non-achrayut is not supposed to protect you from the problems that you're causing. And Rava said exactly the same thing he said about the other case. Look, when Reuven guaranteed, it's true that Achrayut the Alma, when Shimon guaranteed Reuven against a loss of this field, it may well be that the loss that was caused by any other source, except Reuven himself, he was makabel on himself, but he certainly was not makabel on himself losses that he would incur because of himself, and therefore achrayut nafshe mikabel ale. You see how brilliantly this is the mirror image on every level of the first case. So he was certainly not makabel achrayut from the problems that Reuven himself would have caused. Brilliant. Okay, so we have two cases where in each of them we understand that the nature of non-achrayut, or the nature of achrayut as the case may be, is never going to be the same for problems caused by the seller as it is for people that are out there in the world in general. Now, how about in a case where Reuven, same case, except that the field had been inherited from his father, Yaakov. And now he sells the field to Shimon. Shimon, most learn, is not his brother Shimon. It's that other Shimon from the first case. He sells it to Shimon without Achrayus. Shimon turns around, sells it back to Reuven with Achrayus. The same case, except that in this case, the one that took the field away from Reuven was someone that his father Yaakov had owed money to. So Ata Balchov de Yaakov, the Katarif Lemine, Rava is Moda, that in this case, Rami Barchama is right. Because even though Shimon is saying, now listen, I didn't guarantee you against problems that came through your own problems in the field, and since you are the heir of Yaakov, I see you as a simple continuation of your father, and whatever debts were coming to your father are coming against you. And therefore, I certainly didn't guarantee you against yourself. In this case, Rav is Moida, that this is not considered to be against himself. And in this case, if the Baal Chov of Yaakov was Tarif Lemine, then actually Shimon is going to have to reimburse him for the loss. Why is that, my time? Because a Baal Chov of Reuven's father, Yaakov, is as if he's a Baal Chov of someone out there. And it is not considered to be Reuven's personal Chov. And it's Baal Chov the Alma dummy. And in that case, we do not say Reuven is simply taking the place of his father, and Shimon never provided him property insurance against losses caused by himself. This is not considered to be a loss caused by himself. It was a loss caused by his father through the Arusha, and that is something that Shimon actually had guaranteed against. And so curiously, in this case, because of the lack of property insurance in the first sale from Reuven to Shimon, and the presence of property insurance in the second sale from Shimon to Reuven, actually Shimon's going to have to pay Reuven back for the value of this sale. Now, how about this case? Another case that Rami Bar Chama has in these curiously intertwined cases of property insurance is where Reuven sells a field to Shimon with Achrayut. So he guarantees Shimon against loss. Now the thing is, Shimon never pays him for the field. And Shimon doesn't just leave the debt on the field to be paid, so that it remains a direct money owed for the field. Instead, what he does is, look, I'm going to borrow the money from you, and I'll write you a contract for the money I borrowed. And the field is like any other field that I owed. So it was Zakaf Alei B'Milva. He turned the debt from a mortgage into a loan, a direct loan. And a direct loan has all its liens against property, which is normal. But he's the full owner of the property now. Now what happens is that Reuven dies, leaving heirs. It turns out that actually Reuven owed money on the field that he sold to Shimon. And remember that he had promised Shimon property insurance. Came along the Baal Chov of Reuven, to whom he owed money, goes over to Shimon and says, I'm terribly sorry, buddy, but I have a lien against this field which predates your purchase of the field from our poor friend Reuven, and I'm going to have to take it from you. Shimon says, but I like this field. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to pay you cash. You leave the field by me. I owe money anyway. I never paid for this field. I owe money to the Yorshim of Reuven. So I'm just going to pay you that money. You leave the field with me. Fine. The guy walks away, takes the money. Now, smart Alec Shimon goes ahead and he tells the children, the Yatomim, you know, your father guaranteed me against loss of that field, and I had to pay for it. The din in such a case is that it makes no difference, and that Shimon owes the full contract to the heirs of Reuven, and he can't get the money back. Why is that? Because the heirs of Reuven say to him, now listen here, when our father died, he left no property. All he left was that field, but you had already bought that field. Now, it's very true that he guaranteed you against loss of that field, but you have nowhere to collect that from because we are only his heirs, and heirs don't have to pay back debts unless there's property to pay it back from. Well, we don't have any property to pay it back from. As far as the contract that you owed our father, which you used to pay up this guy, that's not our business. That's your problem. Because we were not going to be responsible to this guy at all. If he had come knocking at our door and invited us to court, we would have said, we're really sorry that Dad died without paying you back that money. But Dad also died without leaving any property. And therefore, we have nothing to do with his debts. We're very sorry. Why don't you go to Shimon and collect your debt? And that's what the guy did. Now, the fact that you wanted to give him money that was owed to us, what do we care? We don't want you to pay back debts that we don't have to pay back. Now, pay us the money. You owe us the money that was an IOU to our father, and we want it. They are right. They had no reason to pay back the debtor. And therefore, the creditor, and therefore, it turns out that they can still collect. Anan mitaltele shavak avun gabach. Our father only left cash. And mitaltele diyatmi labal chov lo mishtabde. The halacha is that you cannot collect your guarantees from that property, and this original lender to our father could not have collected the money from our bank accounts, and therefore it was your own business that you paid this guy off with money you owed us. You still owe us that money. Omar Rava says, Rava, that's true. However, if Shimon has any brains, I'll tell you what he'll do. He will say, I don't have any cash. All I own is a field, which happens to be the very field that he bought from Reuven. So he will let the Yitomim, the Yorshim, collect that field in lieu of the cash. The moment they collect that field, he then sues them. And he says, your father guaranteed me against any losses of that field, and I want to collect that field in return for that money. Don't tell me now your father died without leaving you any fields, because it turns out that that very field that you collected from me is part of your inheritance. And now I'm going to collect it back from you. Ha, ha, ha. So he would allow them to be go over the field, and then he could turn right around and sue them for that very same field. Why? Because that's Rav Nachman's principle. The Omer Rav Nachman, Omer Rabba Bar Avua, in a case where Yatomim collected a field because of an IOU that their father had left them against someone else, the moment that they collect that field, it's considered to be property that they inherited from their father. And now anybody that their father owes money to can turn around and collect that field from them. Because now they can no longer say, well, we never got any property from our father. Because the guy will say, you most certainly did. And in this case, it's similar to the cases we had before. It's the very same property that they collected from him that he now turns around and collects from them. Another case which bears on the issue, Omar Rabba, in a case, Reuven sells every piece of property that he owns to Shimon. And he sells all of that property in one contract. Now the reason it's important for us to stipulate the case is he sold it in one contract is because, remember, whenever somebody has a lien against him for money that he owes, the lien is constantly moved to the last available piece of free property. The moment that he sells his last piece of free property, the lien is now exercisable in order of last sell first, second to last sell second, and so on and so forth. So always the last buyer is the one who's in the biggest trouble. The original buyer who left maybe 10 other fields to collect from, he's only going to be touched if all of those fields are collected first. And now the last one is the one that he bought 30 years ago that is covering this guy's debts. Since, however, in this case, Shimon bought every last piece of property at the same time, none of that is important. And therefore, all of the debts that this guy was leaned for are now chal against all of the property of Shimon, as if Shimon has now stood in Reuven's shoes. Okay. Normally, the reason that we say that there's such a thing as an order of collection is because of a din that Chazal made for Tikkun HaOlam. What is that? That when a person buys a field, he needs to know that if he left a field behind, that then the halacha is that that person is going to let his creditors collect from that field first. And therefore, it's a din in Tikkun HaOlam. Right? And that we don't let someone, even though in theory he has a similar tirfa against anybody, because why should we say that the lien disappears? The lien was there. The fact that the guy sells the field to somebody else, because of that, I got to worry about it. So Chazal made a takana. The takana is to enable sales of fields to proceed with less fear, which will hurt the market. What we do is we allow a buyer to look at how many fields the guy has and to say, oh, I left behind fields for people to collect. How much money could he owe? I left behind $3 million worth of fields, and I bought a field for $100,000. What's the chances that they're going to catch up with me? So therefore, Chazal made a takana. We will remove the lien from the field that you bought and only reinstate it when there's nothing else to collect from. Normally, if we had allowed the halakha to proceed according to the way it should, financially, the person that's owed the money can say, guys, I don't care that he was the last buyer. That's his problem. This is the field that I like. Do I have a lien against this field or do I not? Don't talk to me about morality. But we answer, we're not talking to you about morality. We're talking to you about a takanas chachamim for tikkun hashuk. And this is part of the takanas that we make. We didn't give you rights if the fields were sold. But in this case, all the fields were sold to Shima. Once all the fields are sold, none of this has any meaning. Shimon himself is the person that they're coming to be Toref from. He's not the one who took a loan. Reuven took a loan. If Shimon had taken out a loan, we would have made the same takana, and we would have said, you can't collect from Levi, because Levi bought after you. But in this case, Shimon and Levi are basically on the same level. They are both losing fields to someone who's coming because someone else's loan. So the only taina that Levi could have is that specifically the field that was your right to take, I bedafka left by Shimon, so that I would be left alone. But if he can't say that, he's on the same level as Shimon. They are both basically tiruf problems. And as being tiruf problems, Levi bought the same rights that Shimon had. Shimon couldn't have pushed away the debt because he bought everything at one time. For the same reason, since it's not his debt, Levi is in the same position that Shimon is. So this is a very unusual case. If Shimon had his own debts, you'd be 100% right that the guy had no right to collect from Levi, no matter what field Levi would have had. Okay. Now what happens is that one field, Shimon sells off to a third guy. Let's call him Levi. So now, Chazar Shimon Umachar Sadeh Achat LeLevi. Comes along the Baal Chov of Reuven, who has a lien against all of these fields. Remarkably, the halacha is that he can be gova either from Shimon or from Levi, which is very strange. Now, obviously, Levi should be last in order of collection. However, the reason in this case we're allowing him to collect from Levi is Lo Amran. I only said this because I'm talking about a case where the field that Levi bought was Beinonit. So what happened is, let's say there were three types of fields. We had Hidbes fields, which were Idit. We had horrible fields, which were Ziburit. And then we had middle class fields, which were Beinonit. The halacha is that the lien of a creditor are always a Baal Chov, can only force collection from Beinonit fields, unless, of course, the person is willing to give him a better quality field. And since, in this case, Levi was the one who bought Beinonit, and that's the Beinonit field that's available to him, if he wants to, he has a choice to exercise his lien against Beinonit, or he can say, well, but I want to exercise my lien against the first buyer. So he has a choice of doing either way. But in a case where Levi bought a better quality field, Idit, or he bought a worse quality field, Ziburit, then Levi can turn around and say to the creditor, listen here, you jerk, why do you think I was careful to buy only a field that you didn't have rights of initial collection from? Because I didn't want to have anything to do with arguing with you. That's why. So the reason that I bought it, Lahaki Tarchi Vizvine, why do you think I went and had all these fields assessed in that way? Bedafka ara delo chazilach. I bought the fields that you didn't have first dibs on, and therefore you can't come to me. And even in the case that I did say, where if he bought Beinonit, that then the guy can go to him, I want to make something very clear. There may be different levels of Beinonit. Let's say there were 9 fields, okay? So you've got 3 highest quality fields, we'll call those Idit. 3 lowest quality fields, we'll call that Ziburit. 3 medium quality fields, we'll call that Beinonit. Because obviously, it's always relative to the other field that the guy has, right? So therefore, I mean, there's no absolute in Idit, Ziburit, Beinonit. It's whatever is available from the person he's collecting from. Now, suppose Levi bought a Beinonit field, but left behind 2 other Beinonit fields. Suppose that the Beinonit fields that he left behind were slightly different, either slightly better quality or slightly worse quality. Then relative to the field that Levi has, the remaining Beinonit fields could be called Idit, if they're better quality relative to his, or Ziburit, if they're worse quality relative to his. So therefore, he would still be able to say that in the event, the only time that we say Beinonit Nami, where Levi did buy Beinonit, the only time that the Baal Chov could collect from him if he wants to, is where there wasn't exactly the same level of Beinonit left behind. There was either better or less. And then the Baal Chov can claim, okay, so now you, Mr. Levi, made the dumb mistake of collecting the very field that was right in the middle, which I had original rights to, and I want to exercise my dibs against that field. So it has to be precisely the same. Lo Amr, Lo Shavak, Beinonit, Dikavata. Exactly the same Beinonit he didn't leave behind. But if Levi had left behind precisely the same level of field in the hands of Shimon, then Levi can tell the person who's coming to collect, listen here, buddy, the reason I left those fields behind, Hinachti lecha makom ligvote menu, I left you exactly the fields that you had the first dibs on, and you have to collect them from Shimon, who is the one that you have first dibs on. So leave me alone. Omer Abaye, another interesting case. Reuven sells a field to Shimon with Achrayut. The Baal Chov of Reuven comes along and takes it away from Shimon. Reuven says, before this guy is rewarded the field from the court, Reuven says to Shimon, look, I want to go to court with this guy because I have other debts that he owes me, and I want to tell the court about them so that he doesn't have rights to take away this field from you. Or, I have a good taina that I paid him back for this loan, and I can make him swear. But if he comes to you, you can't make him swear because you don't know anything. So you let me handle the case. The other guy, when Reuven comes to court, says, who are you? I don't know who you are. I am coming to collect from Mr. Shimon, who is the only one who owns property that I have a lien against. So please move out of the way so I can get the court to issue a tiruf, which is the right to be matrif, the right to take away the field from Shimon. The court in that case has to recognize Reuven as the legal defendant, even though he essentially is out of the picture. Why? Lo matzi amar le'lav bal dvarim didiyat. You, the person who's trying to get the money, cannot say, I don't have anything to do with this, Mr. Reuven. Please send him out of the courtroom. He can't say that. Because obviously Reuven says to the court, excuse me, if a judgment is awarded him to take that field, who do you think is going to have to pay for that field to Shimon? I do, because I provided him with property insurance. Mishum da Amarle, anything, the mafakdamine, anything that you take away from Shimon, Alai Hadar is going to come right back to me. So therefore, I have a right to challenge this ruling before he's awarded the field. And some say Abaye is wrong. Abaye says only if he provided property insurance. But the truth is, even if he didn't provide him insurance, afilu shelo ba'akrayut, Reuven can still go to court and say, now listen, I have ways in which I can combat this guy. And the guy is saying, well, who are you? You don't owe any money to Shimon if I take it from Shimon. What's it your business? I'm not coming to take anything from you. My baal din is Shimon, not you, and I refuse to acknowledge your right to bring any tainus to this court. You are a disinterested party and don't belong in this courtroom. The din is that even where he didn't provide him with insurance, the court has to recognize Reuven's right of being a proper part of the case. Afilo shaloba krayut nami. Because Reuven can say, look, I may not have any direct financial interest, but I definitely have a moral and emotional interest. Because it's lo nechali tetavile l'shimon tar omet alai. I don't want Shimon to feel that I sold him a field that was actually owed to someone else. I happen to know that it was not owed to someone else. I want the opportunity to contest the tiruf in court. And based on that alone, we will indeed allow him to contest it in court. Not like what Abaye says. Another case is Omar Abaye, where Reuven sells a field to Shimon and does not provide him with achrayut. That is a machloket rishonim here, whether that means specifically says I'm selling it to you without achrayut, or simply did not provide achrayut in the shtar, and it would be going like the Mandioma who says that the lack of achrayut in the shtar is not called a ta'ut sofer. Remember that we had this machloket earlier. Is achrayut a ta'ut sofer or not? But let's not worry about that because it's not our sugya directly. He sold him a field without providing insurance. And now, yatsu alav asikin. What happens is, Shimon finds out that there's people that are claiming that this field is theirs or that it's owed to them. And Shimon says to Reuven, listen, forget it. I want to pull out of the deal. I wasn't interested in getting involved in a thing that's going to be all kinds of hell to pay. The din is like this. Before Shimon has actually taken the control of the field with a chazakah, he could simply pull out because he didn't make a kinyan. But the moment that he made a kinyan, he cannot pull out anymore. And he can't say, look, it's a mekach ta'ut. I never wanted to get involved with a case like this. Because Reuven says to him, listen here, my friend. You bought yourself a black box. You had no idea what was in it. I never provided you with any insurance. And you knew perfectly well that you may be getting yourself into a hole. Now, just because you found out about this hellhole you fell into the next day instead of 3 years later, that's not my problem. That's your problem. Chaita de kitri savaret vikabilit. You wanted to buy yourself a black box, and you did. Now deal with it, friend. So this literally means sacks full of kitri. Kitri is other sacks, you know, so you have a garbage bag that's all filled and it looks like it's full, but it's filled with other garbage bags that are tied. So you got a lot of tied garbage bags in your big garbage bags. Did I tell you to spend money on it? I told you I provide no insurance. You're taking what you get. Fine. So now you got what you got. What is considered to be the moment that he's machzik in the field? Me'emat machzik ba, mikidayish amitzri. From the moment that he tramples along the borders of the field, big machlokas we've shown him. Somewhere tramples is referring to a case where he owns an adjacent field and he tramples down the borders to make them one field. Others learn, like Rashi, that trampling doesn't mean trampled down. Trample means trampling up. In other words, he puts down dirt and packs it in order to make a clear-cut boundary so that now everybody knows this is my field. So he makes a better beitzah. Others learn trample doesn't mean physically to trample. It means simply to walk over. And why is he walking? He's doing a siur, basically, around the field with a list of thinking about all the things that need to be handled. Whoops, we better put a wall up there. Whoops, I need additional water sprinklers here, and so on and so forth. The moment that he's done that, he's basically acted as an owner of the field. And that's considered to be a chazaka. Now, there are others who say that this halacha is true even without the taina of you bought a black box. Somebody buys a field with achrayut. Now it turns out that there's people, he comes to the field, and there's people there that are saying, what are you doing here? So what do you mean, I just bought this field. From whom? This is our field. So now he's got people that are claiming that he bought the Brooklyn Bridge. He goes back to the buyer and he says, look, I don't want to get involved in one of these Brooklyn Bridge things. The buyer says to him, now listen here. You bought something with a property guarantee. The fact that somebody's telling you it's the Brooklyn Bridge is none of my business. I'm telling you, it is not the Brooklyn Bridge. Now, if the moment that the court decides it's the Brooklyn Bridge, you come back to me with that court document, and I will pay you. But don't tell me now that somebody said it's the Brooklyn Bridge. I'm telling you that I sold you my own property. It's not my business that you got these madmen that are claiming that it's their property. And since you have a guarantee, why is this a mekach ta'ut? You bring me the shtar tirfa that the court writes based on these people who claim it's their field. And the moment that you show it to me, I will pay you back your money. But until that time, it's not my problem. And therefore, Reuven can still say to Shimon, according to this approach, Achve tirpach, show me the shtar that Bezdin wrote out that allowed this guy to collect the Brooklyn Bridge that you're claiming from you. The Ashalim Lach, and at that point I will pay you. But don't say, listen, forget it, I want out of the deal. A deal's a deal. If there's a reason to collect, I'll pay you when it becomes clear in court. And at the time that the child sold his mother's ketuvah from his second husband, he said to the buyer, look, I'm telling you right now, that Yatya Aim, if mommy comes along and makes trouble, I'm not going to reimburse you. She's ma'arer at lo mafatzin alecha. In the end, by the time his mother had died and he was going to take the ketuvah, she never had anything bad to say about the deal. V'lo yirara. However, the son himself, ata'iru v'kom ma'arer. So Sava Rami Bar Chomel Meimar, okay, at this point, he is his mother. And he doesn't have to give back the money. Oh, Malay Rava, that's crazy. He was certainly mekabel any trouble that he himself makes. And in the opposite case, Omar Rami Bar Chama, if Reuven is mochre sada l'Shimon, shaloba achrayut, and Shimon sells it back to Reuven, years later, with achrayut, and now a bal chov of Reuven from before the first sale to Shimon comes and collects it from him, katarif leminei, the halacha is that Shimon has to pay him back. Dino de Ozer Shimon, who promised him property insurance, has to be mafatzile. Omele Rava, that's ridiculous. It's the same thing in the inverse. If Achrayuti Alma, he was makabel on himself to pay back to Reuven, he certainly was not makabel the Achrayut for Reuven's own loans. That's ridiculous. Achrayut de Nafshe mi kablale? Had he been makabel that on himself? Of course not. However, Moda Rava, that if the loans that were collected against Reuven were loans that were really inherited from his father Yaakov, so if it was Reuven Shiarash Sademi Yaakov, Umecharale Shimon Shaloba Achrayut, Liata Shimon Umachra back to Reuven with Achrayut, and then the Baal Chov of Yaakov comes and is Tarif Lemine, Dino Huda'azor Shimon, who's not brother Shimon, but just plain Shimon, and then he does have to reimburse Reuven. Why? My time. Because the Baal Chov of Yaakov is not considered to be Reuven's own Baal Chov. He is a Baal Chov d'Alma. He's like somebody out there dummy. Obviously, we don't want Reuven and Shimon to be brothers, because then Shimon has as much of a chiyuv to pay back that debt of Yaakov that Reuven does, which would complicate matters no end here. Omar Romi Bar Koma, Reuven Shemachar Sada LeShimon BaAchrayut, but it turns out that Reuven was never paid, and instead they made it a loan. Mezakav Alav B'Milva. Now Reuven died, and Ota Baal Chov de Reuven, the Katarif Lemi Shimon. Shimon pays the guy back because he wants to keep it, and he figures that money is the money that he owed the Yatomim anyway. So he's paisa bezuzin. The din is that the B'nai Reuven can say to him, listen, we want our money. This has nothing to do with anything. Our father only left us bank accounts. Anan metaltele shavak avun gabach, metaltele diatme labal chov lo mishtati. So basically, we weren't going to have to pay this guy back. Only you were. And we weren't going to have to pay you back, because why should we pay for the achrayut of our father? That's a debt, and he didn't leave any property. On the other hand, we have a contract that you owe us money. We want that money. And they'd be absolutely within their rights. Omar Rava, but there's still a way that Shimon can undo this, because if he's smart, he hides his cash, okay? And Magdalun the Aleo Ara, he allows them to collect the field. Once they collect the field, he can now take the field back because of the Achrayut that Reuven owed him. Because Reb Nachman, the Omer Reb Nachman, Omer Rabba Baravua, Yitomim, that end up being Gove Karka Bechovat Avihem, it's now considered to be their direct Yerusha from their father. And the Baal Chov of their father can now come back and be Chozer V'Gov Otomihem. Omar Rabba Reuven Shemachar Kol Sudotav LeShimon in one contract. The Chozer Shimon Umachar, one of the Sudas, to Levi. The Baal Chov of Reuven can come and collect from any of the field, either one of Shimon's fields or one of Levi's. Ratzmi Zegov, Ratzmi Zegov. However, that's only Lo Amran Ella Dezavna Benani, because he was supposed to collect from Benanit in the first place. Avazavna Idito Ziburit, Levi can say to him, and even in a case of Benanit, he would be able to say that. Lo Amran Ella de lo Shavik Benanit de Kavata. If he didn't leave the same Benanit in the Rishus of Shimon, Avo Shavak Benanit the Kavata, he could still say the Baal Chov, you have no right to come to my Benani, you have to go to Shimon first. And he nachti lecha makom legvotim enu. Omer Abaye, Reuven Shemachar Sadeh leShimon ba'achrayut, v'yata Baal Chov de Reuven v'katorif leminei, dino hu da'azer Reuven u'mefatzile, he is going to go ahead and argue it out with him, and he can't say, La Baldvarm Didiya. Mishum da Omar Lay, any money that you take from this field, I'm going to have to end up paying back. So the mafakamine alay hadar. Ikadi Amri, even if he wouldn't have that taina, because we sold it shaloba achrayut, afilo shaloba achrayut nami, he could say, I want to fight it out with him. The Omar Lay, lo nechli the tavali shimotar omet alay. And therefore it's important for me to save this field for Shimon. Omar Abaye, Reuven Shemachras Sadesh Lishimon Shaloba Achrayut. And now there's people claiming that it was never the other guy's field, it was the Brooklyn Bridge, Yotzola Sikin. The din is, Achlo Yichzikba, he can claim it's a Mekach Ta'ut, Yochalach Zorba. Mish Yichzikba, I know Yochalach Zorba, Mishum de Omarle. Look, you bought yourself a Chaita the Kitre, and that's what you got. Savarta, you knew you had no guarantees. Kapila, that's what you got. Umiemat, at what point is it considered to be maksikpa? Mechidayish amatzre. Ikeni amre, he could say this even where it was ba'achrayut. Because he can say, look, these guys, they don't know what they're talking about. You don't worry about a thing. I have completely legal title on this field. And what's it your problem anyway? In the end, if Besdin paskins that it's not your field, you come to me and show me, and then I'll pay you back. I don't believe they're going to give it to these other people. You show me the shtar that Besdin writes, that they accept the tiny that it was the Brooklyn Bridge. And then I shall aim lecha at that point, but no earlier.